So today's readings are a gift, including the one that we dropped. So I could spend an awful lot of time on each reading that was set for today, chewing over some of the depth and the context and the way in which these ancient texts can inspire us today and challenge us, how they can speak to where we are at this time in our lives, in our history, how they are worth wrestling with to delve deep and find words which offer wisdom for what we find ourselves facing, how they are very appropriate for this particular Pride Sunday, as many of us prepare to walk together in the parade immediately following this service. But because we do have that parade to get to, and because I get a second chance to preach this evening at 7 p.m. at our Pride Evensong, I won't be digging deep, or at least not as deeply as I'd like to, as we want to have enough time to get to Government and Pandora for an 11 a.m.-ish start to the parade. So I will say what I said when I was in this exact situation 3 years ago today, when we last had this selection of readings, and also including, I believe, 2 Kings, which is the other one, but we also had a parade to get to. I said, please go home and read the readings and consider them, because there's a lot to the three readings that we had today. And I think they speak even more than they did 3 years ago to where we are at this time and in this place. What do these passages say to you, to the church, and to the world in which we serve in Christ's name? So a quick look rather than a deep dive. But that's all for the good, as it might sharpen up what I'm going to say. And sharp is probably what we need at this time. Firstly, and mainly, I want us to think on that beautiful passage from Galatians. Paul is talking about discipline in the Christian church, the early Christian communities, the Jesus people, and the calling for those Christ followers to be people of integrity, and to be those who work, and I quote, for the good of all, and especially for the family of faith. He has strong words to say. Indeed, the whole of Galatians is a pretty strident letter. And if I may say so, it's Paul being pissy. And even here, at the end of the 6 chapters of Galatians, he puts a personal seal on it by saying, see with what large letters I write with my own hand. And there's lots of reasons why this statement is one that biblical scholars love, because trying to figure out what that means is an art of itself. But Paul is essentially saying, I am writing these words from my heart to you. What I want to take from among all of the admonitions and all this talk of living lives that reflect the values of the divine is this one phrase that I'd like us to hold tight to today and always. Let us not grow weary of doing what is right. A lot of us are tired. We're tired of the constant barrage of news about destruction, about oppression, about persecution. We live in a world that has become increasingly frightening in the recent years, with a lurch to the right in so many countries, not least our siblings to the south. Authoritarian societies such as the USA has become always stand on oppression and exclusion, especially to the already vulnerable and marginalized. And our trans and queer siblings are indeed being oppressed, persecuted, condemned, and attacked by those who claim to be speaking on God's behalf and by the structures of a wider society. And although things seem better here in Canada, we see how easily the hard-won rights of the 2S LGBTQTII plus community can be stripped in just such a short time as 5 months, and how complicit society can be in those rolling back of rights, often for fear of what will happen to them if they speak out. Paul is speaking to the Galatians who are seeking to exclude and to make people follow rules and regulations, who want to join their community, and reminds them and us that we are all to stand together and to bear one another's burdens in this work of justice and welcome. As an ally and as members of the queer community, we cannot say we've done all we can when there are still those who are suffering and who cry out for justice. As we are reminded by Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. And we are seeing at home and abroad growing intolerance towards trans persons, towards the queer community, towards black and brown people, towards immigrants, towards the poor, the sick, the mentally ill, the disabled, towards those who fall outside of a narrow band of what is considered normal, a band created by those who look with suspicion and even hatred on what they consider to be the other. Dictators build their grabs for power on successfully othering and convincing their countries that all the ills that befall them are due to those who look, sound, act, or love differently. Today, on Pride Sunday, we celebrate the positive moves forward that have been made here in our country and in other lands. And we are also called to remember that the very first Pride was a protest, a stand against injustice, a stand against persecution, a stand that became a riot. I'm not suggesting that we riot. Certainly not that we perpetuate or perpetrate violence of any kind. But we do commit ourselves to the work of justice for all. In our gospel reading, we have a calling as to where that strength comes from to work. The calling to be people of peace. And for us, the challenge is to stay even when we want to shake the dust off of our feet. Being people of peace does not mean being placid. In fact, to be a peacemaker might actually mean being very noisy and very active. Upsetting apple carts, refusing to accept the status quo is inevitable just because the church or the empire or whoever tells us that it is. In today's gospel passage, we are told to remain somewhere if a person of peace is in that house. But even if there are people of peace, it's hard to stay if there are other voices, clamoring, judging, discordant voices. Our challenge is to make sure our house, not just ourselves individually, but the whole household of Christ, the whole church, is a place of peace and justice, proclaiming and bringing justice to this world. And by peace, we come back to the Hebrew idea of peace, which we say so often from this pulpit and in our conversations, shalom. Often translated as peace, but so much more than that, filled with ideas such as wholeness, healing, integrity, justice. We are challenged in partnership with the Holy Spirit to make this household one of wholeness and a beacon of justice, to work with unity and to work together for justice, to work for peace, but not at the cost of being passive, to be a place where all are welcome, not at the expense of who they are or if they fit into our expectation of the way of doing things, but precisely because they are who they are. Queer, straight, trans, cis, black, brown, white, Asian, European, indigenous, settler descended, rich, poor, depressed, diverse, non-conforming, however, whoever, whatever, and why ever people seek to be a part of our community. My siblings, let us not tire of doing what is right. Seek justice, proclaim justice, live justice, and work for justice for all. May God grant us the peace and the strength, the wisdom and compassion we need to continue this work. Amen.